Welcome back to Young Ag Achievers, a podcast where we talk to promising kids involved in Oklahoma agriculture. I am Lee Benson, the Public Information Officer for the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food, and Forestry. And joining me is Oklahoma Secretary of Agriculture, Blaine Arthur. Today's podcast has a 4-H theme to it. Both of our guests are part of the 4-H program. Megan Mitchell from Tillman County 4-H and Jake Volgamore from Canadian County 4-H. Secretary Arthur, you're going to be talking to them here in a moment. What should we expect from that interview?
Well, really look forward to talking to these 4-H members. They've been at 4-H Day at the Capitol representing their counties, and I know we've got a little bit of information on them. They've both spent a lot of years in 4-H, and I think it's always so interesting to hear from our 4-H members, because the project areas are so different for a lot of these students. So looking forward to talking to them and kind of see what their project area focus is, and of all their years spent in 4-H, what they have enjoyed the most, and just kind of learning a little bit about them.
We'll get to that here in a moment, but before we talked to, before you talk to Megan and Jake, I did want to talk some sports with you. So get ready.
So you're turning this over into a sports podcast, Lee.
For just a brief moment.
Just but a little bit.
It's going to make sense, though. Okay. I hope at least. Because you have been training for the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. And as you listen to this episode, the race is coming up this weekend. So I do want to ask you about how that's going. I know I mentioned the full marathon. You're doing the half marathon.
The half, yes.
The half. So I do want to ask you about the half marathon later on in the show after the interview. But early on, right now in the podcast, I want to get to know about your athletic background. Since you are training for this race, I know you've run it before in the past multiple times. I know you played some sports as a kid. I have memories of you talking about playing soccer,
yes,
I believe. So
yep.
What can you go all through your background? What all did you play?
So back to when I was, I guess, starting, we certainly played soccer and then did softball and basketball. And I would say that I tried really hard, but maybe did not have quite the natural athletic ability that a lot of my friends had. But I always put forth a lot of effort, but really kind of leaned into soccer. And my older sister was a soccer player as well. She was an all-state soccer player her senior year. But I grew up in Chickasha, and we had an exceptional soccer program, even from kind of the little bitties all the way up through high school. Coach Hampton was both the high school girls and high school boys soccer coach, very talented. And I think there was kind of strategy there in Chickasha, because a lot of us started playing when we were a little bitty and then played all the way up into high school. And so really played year round. We played outdoor, we played indoor, the kind of like baseball a little bit, unless there's lightning, you play soccer. It does it. So we played in the snow in the turkey shootout in Edmond. I don't know if that still exists, but had some very distinct, really, really cold soccer games. But it was a kind of a nice balance to all of my ag activities growing up, was playing soccer. And so I had great coaches, great teammates, and certainly learned a lot from that. But in my sophomore year, soccer team won state, but always certainly lots of credit to the coaches, because we were always more prepared than anybody. You know, and our coach would say, you may not be the most athletic, but we can be the most prepared. And in soccer, there's a lot of running, as everyone knows.
Yes.
And probably not, I think of all the sports that people watch, certainly here in the United States, probably not the crowd that you might find other places in the world. Not a lot of goals typically in soccer, so maybe not as much fun as basketball or some other sports to watch, but spent a lot of time on the soccer field and really enjoyed it.
Wait, so I'm sure you mentioned this to me before, and maybe I forgot, but you won a state championship. You're state champion in athletics, which that's awesome.
Well, team.
Well, yeah.
Certainly a team sport.
That's what I mean.
And
yeah.
I really want to put the heavy emphasis on, we had some really talented girls on my team who were great athletes, but, it was a lot. We worked hard. We worked hard and kind of dedicated, our, lots and lots of hours to that, but it was just a good lesson for not giving up. And so, I mean, it's kind of a grind, a soccer game is, yeah, a little bit, you know, you just kind of work and work and work and maybe get a goal, and sometimes you don't. So kind of in some ways a good analogy for life, just a little bit too.
Yeah, no, I just think that's neat because I never want anything like that. Certainly when you're in high school and you're playing sports, that's the number one goal. The closest I ever got, my junior year of high school, our football team, we made it to the state semifinals.
Okay, yeah.
And then just got absolutely run in that game.
Oh,
and
no.
We were really confident, thought we were going to win, and yes, it just did not work out for us. So that was the closest I ever got to it. So that's really cool that you had that feeling, had that moment. And then also when it comes to ag, I mean, every time we have kids come in here and they have sports in their background as well, that gives you even more of an idea. You know what they're going through. You know what that's like to play all these sports, but also have all of this ag as well. So you can relate to them in that way. I'm sure that probably helps the conversation.
For sure. And a tricky balance. I went to a bigger school, so you kind of picked a sport more so, and you might have done a sport and ag. But I love to talk to these students that come from our more rural schools because they're a lot of times playing every sport, yeah, and doing all the activities and really juggling all of those pieces. But I love the balance of the athletics with the ag side of things because I think, especially the team sports, I think that gives those students a lot. Sometimes in the ag space, their activities might be public speaking, which is just an individual activity, or showing livestock, which is a little more so, them having to work with a team and kind of the ups and downs of being part of a team, I think is a great balance for them. And my kids are very active in athletics too. I never thought, Lee, that I would be a sports mom, but here, well, yeah, I am being a sports mom. So you just never know.
And your kids do all the different athletics. I know that you're track and field, baseball, softball, right?
Yes,
I mean,
we
kind of
do
everything.
All, yeah, the things. Yep. Go to a small school, which I love, but I've learned a lot about sports that I never really planned to learn. But when you sit at that many baseball games or you go to that many track meets, you kind of start picking up, and it's fun. It's, yeah, exciting and fun.
One last thing I did want to ask you about. How long did it go? And you didn't play anything in college, right? So,
oh gosh, no. Okay. No, I was not that good, Lee.
Well, I just wanted to, maybe you did. I don't know. What about like intramurals? I mean, like, when did you stop, I guess, competing in sports?
Yeah. I think my freshman year at OSU, we did softball, yeah, intramurals. But other than then, I got just really busy with all my campus activities, yeah, and I was in a sorority, so didn't do as much then. So kind
real
of
life got
took,
in the way. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit kind
priorities.
Of, but it's fun. And then it was fun when my kids started to school and started, you know, t-ball. I think everybody loves t-ball because the kids are so tiny and it's just fun and everybody's excited to be there. So then kind of started back onto that path when my kids were old enough to play ball.
Well, still to come, I'm going to ask you about training for this half marathon coming up and how that's been going. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the event as well that's coming up this weekend. But first, let's send it over to Secretary Arthur for her chat with Megan Mitchell and Jake Volgamore.
Well, good afternoon. We're very excited to have two 4-H Healthy Living ambassadors joining us here on the podcast. We've got Jake Volgamore and Megan Mitchell. And Jake, why don't you just get us started and tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. So like she said, my name is Jake Volgamore. I've been in 4-H for a little over 9 years. And a lot of things I like to do outside of school. I raise and train racehorses right now. So me and my friends.
Wow. Okay.
Every day after school, we spend about 3 or 4 hours and we go and work with horses. And then after that, we have a nice long dinner.
Okay. Well, I think you're our first, without a doubt, our first podcaster that has that interest. So we'll look forward to learning more about that. Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, she said, I'm Megan Mitchell. I'm wrapping up my 8th year in 4-H. And I really am like in the physical side of health and trying to make sure that our bodies are in tune with our minds. So I love being physical, active, and I do lots of golf and basketball with my family. So.
Okay, great. And I know we're here in Oklahoma City, but you all were both at 4-H Day at the state capitol today. So Jake, tell us a few of your takeaways from 4-H Day at the capitol or things that you liked or maybe even something that you learned today.
All right. Well, just to start, I guess at the very end of my Capitol Day, I actually spoke with Representative Lonnie Paxton.
Okay.
And he actually took me on this. Oh, sorry. Senate.
Senator.
So
yeah,
he took me on the Senate floor, and he actually introduced me to people, and he's because they most recently signed a bill to where 4-H absences are now excused.
Right.
And so I was really happy with that because I've had right now I have over 36 absences, and that's all due to 4-H.
Yes.
And so he took me on the floor, introduced me, and showed like I'm a perfect example of why they signed this and got it into play.
That's an exciting day. That's very, very cool. That is great. All right, Megan, what about you? What was something, and I know you all had both said you've been to 4-H Day at the Capitol today, but what's something that you learned today or thought was interesting or exciting?
Yeah, so this is my third year going to Day at the Capitol, and I think every year I learn something new, something interesting. This year I kind of really got the grip of how much representatives do. And I was talking to mine today, and he said that he goes over 50 bills a day, which is just so astounding to me that they have to do that much work. And it just really puts into perspective how much they do for us and local communities and rural areas. So, yeah.
No, I think that's great perspective. I know from an ag side, we just focus on the ag policy bills. But as a whether it's a senator or a state rep, they've got to know everything from health to transportation to agriculture. So their days are very busy with all types of topics, and those can be different every single day. So it is a big job.
Yeah.
Well, now talk to us. I know you're both healthy living ambassadors. So, Jake, I'm going to start with you, but tell me a little bit about what that means, how you kind of go through the process to be able to be a healthy living ambassador. So kind of tell anyone who's listening who wouldn't know anything about it. Tell us about why you wanted to do that and then how you got to be one here for the Oklahoma 4-H program.
All right. So for me, this is my first year of being a healthy living ambassador. Okay. I'm really just getting into it. And I mean, I really didn't know much about it, especially I've really not worked with like a lot of higher 4-H positions. And so pretty much starting off, I kind of went into it not knowing much, but I knew I wanted to focus more on the mental health side.
Okay.
Because for me personally, I think if you're not mentally healthy, it's kind of hard to work on your physical aspects. And so, I mean, basically that's kind of what I wanted to do going into it, because I feel like that's something I kind of struggle with personally.
Okay.
I feel like I put a lot on myself, and so that kind of makes it stressful for me. So I kind of want to help educate. I want to help like teach kids that there's better ways to do certain things, and that maybe you need to set up a calendar or something like that just to help yourself help like have less stress. And so that's kind of how I got into it, first of all.
Okay.
But honestly, right now I'm enjoying it. I've had plenty of great opportunities. We just recently got back from our DC trip, which we had our Healthy Living Summit kind of up there.
Okay.
And it was really fun. So we got to meet many great speakers, and what they focused on more is the food side of things, so like the health benefits of food. And so it was really interesting. I got to learn a lot.
Okay, that's awesome. All right, Megan, how about you? Did you go on the DC trip as well?
I did.
Okay.
So I've been a Healthy Living Ambassador for the past 2 years, and I've gone on the trip both years, and it's been such an amazing experience for me. I focused more on the physical side of it just because growing up, I was always in sports and little leagues and all that stuff. And so I've just grown up with it. It's what I was comfortable with. But the more I got to go and learn about the Healthy Living Ambassadorship, the more I learned that you really have to focus and learn a balance between mental health, physical health, and spiritual health also. Just balancing those things is what you really need to get to, and it's like the long goal. And being a Healthy Living Ambassador, I think my main focus in wanting to be it and wanting to push it is just trying to educate the youth on it.
Okay.
A lot of people don't know about the ambassadorship in 4-H because it's kind of a new program that we've been starting off. And so I really want to make sure that the youth knows about the Healthy Living Ambassadorship and just know how to be better physical health, better mental health. It's something that the youth, I think, struggles with and to get more awareness about. So I really think that with this ambassadorship, we can push that and educate the youth more.
No, that's great. So to follow up on that, Megan, so is it an application process that you all go through to become a Healthy Living Ambassador, or did your 4-H educator say, hey, this is what I want you to do, or how did that happen?
Well, I started, my friends all kind of like pushed me to do it. And so what you first start off is you kind of write a little essays about some questions that they have, and then they choose off of that and narrow around the group. And then they pick a couple of applicants to do an interview. And then you go through the interview process. And from that, they pick a couple of, I think to this year we have 10.
Yes, we have around 10. And that's the same way I got into it. I had one of my friends, Brance Barnett, he was in it. And he recommended it to me. And he said it'd be lots of fun. And I'm for sure already feeling the fun. So
okay, really very good. Very good. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, I mentioned 4-H educator, but for folks who aren't familiar with the 4-H program, you know, how do you mentioned a friend suggesting that to you, but the volunteers and educators play a big part in, I know, your all's activities. So talk to me about, is your educator really, or some volunteers, or how, you know, you said 9 years, I think, Jake, you've been in 4-H. So tell me how you kind of got started and then what that has looked like over time.
So when I was first starting off, I've shown horses all my life. And so that's one thing I've always wanted to do. And I kept begging my mom and asking her just to show my horses. And the first step of doing that was I had to be in a 4-H club. And so I basically got started that way. My mom, she found a 4-H club while she was scrolling on Facebook.
Okay.
And the following week, we contacted our leader and I got straight to it. I went to my first play day out there and I learned, which I was like 7 at the time, but I learned how to saddle my own horse, put on halters, tie them up. And I mean, I just learned the basics, a lot of ground handling stuff. And then finally I learned how to saddle my own horse. And then I started riding. And so it was just one step at a time. And over the years I've developed many skills, especially a lot of horsemanship skills.
Okay.
And I just think that 4-H has given me many great opportunities, especially on the horse side of things.
So I know there's 4-H, there's district show and state 4-H horse show. Have you participated in those? Are those coming up, I think, maybe soon?
Yes.
Yeah, time of year?
So the district horse show is coming up at the end of, it comes up at the end of May. It's May 31st through June. It's May 31st through June 1st.
Okay.
And so I've actually never been a part of them. I went to the state horse show last year and I helped out a friend there.
Okay.
But I've actually never been a part of it. I've always done I went to small jackpot shows, but it's going to be my first year doing it. And I'm really excited because it's actually at our county expo this year.
Okay.
So it's a mile down the road.
Perfect.
So
no, that's
I'm
great.
I'm ready to get out that's there great. And hopefully bring some competition.
So now what all events do you participate in then on the horse side?
Okay. So my first, starting off the day, I'll end up doing halter.
Okay.
And basically just leading the horse in there. They're looking at the horse and looking at the muscle structure and everything.
Okay.
I'll start off the day with that, and then I'll move into showmanship. That's where they're looking at you. They're looking at how you handle your horse and if you can make that horse look good. And then after that, I don't do any English classes.
Okay. Smaller saddle, right?
Yeah, it's a smaller saddle, and I don't like wearing tights, so that's one reason I won't end up doing that.
Okay.
But then after the English classes, they have the Western. They have all the Western classes.
Okay.
So it starts off with usually like Western pleasure, and then it might move into like a ranch riding class, which is just a basic pattern that you follow. It can vary.
Okay.
And then they'll have like trail classes. And I think that's my favorite one just because you have to take time to learn the trails.
Yes.
And like memorize them and be able to get your horse to do all these things. So I think that's the best part, especially seeing how the exhibitor works with their horse.
Yes.
It really shows all that. And then I love doing the speed events.
Okay.
That's one of my favorite things. I have a horse that he previously did barrels. I ain't the best barrel racer on the planet, but man, he can move.
Okay.
So I love doing barrels and poles. And then we also do a stakes race.
Okay. So that kind of ties into the racehorse side of it then, right? The speed a little bit, maybe?
A little bit. I've actually never been like big on going too fast. I love doing the ground handling part of it for like the racehorses.
Yes, yeah.
And so I plan on getting my groom's license for Remington Park.
Oh,
that's
awesome.
Our racetrack. Yeah, it's really close to here. And so hopefully I can make a little bit of money this summer. That's what I'm hoping. But my one of my friends, he actually does a lot of the riding. He plans on being a jockey. So
wow. Okay. Very cool.
We got a little business.
No, I like it. I like it. All right. Now, Megan, tell us about you said 8 years, I think, in 4-H. Is that right? So tell us about, you know, did you have older siblings or you had a friend or how did you kind of start your 4-H adventure?
Yeah, 4-H has been like a family affair almost. It's been like something that my aunts and my uncles and my mom and my grandma was all part of. And so growing up, I always like had some part of doing it with being a clover bud or just helping out and setting up events for everybody else. And so I kind of just eased my way into it when everyone else did. And then I truly got inspired by 4-H when my sister really got involved with it and became a state officer and I saw all the opportunities it was giving her.
Okay.
And I was kind of getting jealous because I was too young to do it yet. And I always get grumpy. I was like, why can't I go to the fun camps? And I just kind of sparked a passion of, I want to do what she's doing. And so through that, I really learned some leadership and community service. And it's just been a big passion of mine ever since.
No, that's great. I know that Roundup, you have to be 14 to go to Roundup. Does that...
Yeah.
Okay. So I know some of the younger 4-H members are waiting for the time when they get to go to Roundup there on campus in the summer. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
So talk to us, Megan, we will start with you. I think 4-H is very unique in that you all as older 4-H members do a lot of demonstrations or education for the younger 4-H members, which I think is something really unique. Have you had the opportunity to do some of those instructional classes or present to younger 4-H members? Talk to us about that, because I think it's kind of a mentor type opportunity.
Yeah, I've done many. It's one of my favorite things to do in 4-H with my local club. Every single year when speech contests and demonstration contests come around, I give a demonstration on what is a good speech and what is a bad speech.
Okay.
And
okay.
The kids have so much fun with it, because with the bad speech, I'll like have gum in my mouth and I'll mess with my hair and not make eye contact. And they'll like to point me out and be like, "You're doing it wrong." And they have so much fun with doing that, because it also teaches them, okay, if she can do it, then I can do it. And I always love to play games with them of if they can pull a card out and has a random word on a clock, can they make a minute speech about a clock? And it's just, they okay. have so much fun with that. And it's one of my favorite events, doing it with my local clubs.
No, that's great. Okay, Jake, how about you? Have you done some instructions or demonstrations for younger 4-H members in your club or neighboring clubs?
So, yeah, I actually have. I've done horse-like demonstrations, okay. like helping people learn how to show horses. Most recently, I brought a couple of my friends out, and I'm giving them riding lessons. But some other things I've done some horticulture projects.
Oh, okay.
So we've planted seeds with little kids, and we've just they plant them, and then they can take them either to family members, or they can take them home, put them in the ground, and see if they grow. But I've done stuff like that, and I've also done a couple I've done STEM projects as well.
Great.
So we've done some sort of little robotics where we make creations, and or we draw out. Like, you draw it out at first, and then you try to build it with all these different objects that we have.
Okay.
So I've done a whole bunch of little workshops, kind of all around. That's what I love about 4-H. There's a wide variety of things to do for any type of kid.
You know, I think the diversity of the project areas is great, because really a student can have interest in anything, and there's a project area for that in 4-H, which I think is really fabulous. But as you're talking, Jake, I was thinking about you all interview very well and you speak very well. And so then I was thinking about record books, and I know you all do interview for that. So have we done record books over the last few years and had some of those experience? Jake, why don't you? And the reason I asked that is we had a senator today who caught me and said, "I just talked to the student all about this record book that they put all this time and energy into." So tell us a little bit about the record book process and walking through that.
So there's a wide variety of topics. And basically with your record books, you're going to choose one topic and then you're going to end up writing all about it. So for me personally, I've done record books for a long time, for at least the county level.
Okay.
But last year, I really got onto it for my state record books, just because with the state record books, you can receive scholarships. And that's something I was really happy about. Unfortunately, I got alternative in both of mine, and I didn't end up getting picked, but hopefully this year I can do better
okay,
on that.
Okay.
But with the record books, you're basically doing throughout the year, you do a whole bunch of workshops and everything, and you go, for me, going to horse shows, or also another one of mine is vet science.
Ah.
And OSU hosts a lot of vet stuff
okay.
at their campus. And so, for me personally, with that one, I'm pretty much writing, stuff that I've learned over the years, and combining that into one huge record book. By the end of it, I mean, it's going to be pretty big. And hopefully with that, I can be successful. But a lot of things that it'll ask are community service things that you've done over the years, leadership. And then also you have your whole 4-H story. That's one of the biggest things right there. And I feel like that is kind of hard to write, because you get a limited amount of pages to do it on.
Okay.
And so you're trying to fit all these things you've done over the years into six
oh, really?
Pages, and it's okay. yeah, it's pretty hard for that. And then you also have the photography section where you do pictures of that project throughout the years.
Okay.
So I really enjoy the record books, but it is for sure a long process, and it's something I feel like it's better if you do it periodically throughout the
right.
year rather than just doing it last
yes.
minute.
Yes, I can be maybe one of those last minute people sometimes. So
that's me too.
But Megan, talk about, have you done some record books in at the county and state level?
Yes, I have. I almost have the same story as Jake. I did them all through county, and then last year I really focused on my state record book, and it is such a daunting task. It's almost like It's so scary getting the first year done because you have to go all the way back to when you first started 4-H and write everything you've ever done in that one topic. And my topic was safety. And so I went all the way back to my very first speech, which was about bus safety. And I wrote about bus safety.
That's important. It's a very important topic.
Yeah, when I was in eighth grade. Not eighth grade. When I was eight, I did that. And so you really have to think really hard about your past. And I think it's almost bittersweet because you're at the end of my 4-H career. I'm seeing all this stuff I've done. I'm like, oh, I wish I had a couple more years left. But it's just so nice looking back on that in the past. And I know I'm going to love it in a couple years from now when I get sad that I'm not in 4-H anymore. I can look back on that record book and see all the memories I made in it.
Well, you all are still very young. Lee and I are actually really old. So you all think that you're getting near the end, but we had been a long time ago since we were in high school. So now I'm going to switch a little bit and talk about you all obviously have done very well in your 4-H careers and had a lot of things that have gone well for you. But I want you each to, and Jake, we'll start with you, to think about a time when you maybe have something that didn't go quite right or something that you applied for, interviewed for that didn't go like you wanted to go, and kind of talk about that and then maybe what you learned through that experience.
Okay, so I guess to start out, I feel like something that I've applied for, I'll start with my county stuff because I feel like this is something that I've always struggled with. So, I mean, for a long time, I really struggled with doing interviews, and I feel like that's always been one of my problems.
I would never have guessed that. You're doing an excellent job, so you're doing a great job.
So I feel like one of the times that I've, like, applied for something, so at our county, we have our junior and, like, senior hall of fame, and it's just for, like, 4-H kids.
Right.
And I feel like that's something I've always struggled with. And so I feel like I've never been able to... Like, they'll ask certain questions, and I feel like I start off a lot worse than I end. Okay. So, like...
You just got to get warmed up, right? You got to warm
up. Yeah, it just takes me a minute to get warmed up. But for specifically, like, Junior and Senior Hall of Fame, I never got the Junior Hall of Fame, and hopefully this year, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to, is maybe getting the Senior Hall of Fame. But I feel like I've struggled with doing interviews over time.
Okay.
I feel like it's something that takes up... You have to build up courage to be able to do it. And so, I mean, I've learned a lot over the years. I've talked to many great people, and they've kind of helped me try to, like, get past that struggle. So I feel like that's one thing I've been struggling with, and hopefully I'm getting better.
I never would have guessed that, and I can assure you, even as adults, many people, because we interview people here for jobs all the time, and that it's a hard thing. Do you know what I mean? It's just like public speaking. Not everybody likes that, but I feel like you've certainly conquered that, if that was a struggle with you before. So we'll look forward to watching to see how the Hall of Fame goes in your county this year. We'll be keeping tabs on that. But Megan, do you have an example of something that maybe didn't go quite like you wanted it to, or you were disappointed because you weren't selected for it, or give us something that you can think of along those lines?
Oh, I have many, but I'll only tell you one. It's actually so embarrassing, but the lesson I learned from it is, I think, very valuable.
Okay.
I went and I did my first extemporaneous speech contest, and my mom, she was so mad because she was like, you need to go and you need to practice these topics and be prepared. And I was like, no, I got this, Mom. Don't worry. And then I tagged along my friend and I was like, you should do it too. And she goes, no, I'm not going to do it. But then at last minute, she decided to do it. And I get up to do my extemporaneous speech and I just start laughing. I didn't remember anything that I was going to say.
Oh, no.
I just started laughing because my friend was out there. And I was like, oh, no. And my mom was so mad. And then my friend got up to do hers, and she did it perfectly, and she won. And I was so disappointed in myself that I couldn't keep it together and do a good extemporaneous speech. But from that, I learned that sometimes you just got to go with the flow and just have to have fun with it because... I did mess up.
Right.
It was sad, but I had fun and I had a good laugh. And my friend from winning, she's now such a good public speaker that she's done many contests and she's even gone to district and won at district. So I like to say that I had a little part in her being a good public speaker.
Okay, I like that. I think that's a good,
yeah.
good way to look at it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, and Jake, you talked about wanting to get involved in horses and 4-H, but I know a lot of people, I hear a lot of folks that say, I want my kids to be in 4-H, but I don't know how to do that, or I don't know who to contact. So talk to us about, if there's students out there listening or parents that they want their kids to have the chance to participate in some of the things that, you know, what's kind of the first step to, you know, enter into that 4-H path for students?
So I feel like the best way to start off is, I feel like you need to look for your extension. I think you need to find your extension office, okay, because every county has one. And if you're trying to get started, if you talk to your extension agent, you'll have a 4-H one, or one that focuses on 4-H, and he can help find you a club, or they can help find you a club, and they'll try to get you fitted for whatever you're doing. For like example, I'm in a horse club, but if you wanted to go like other clubs, they have STEM clubs, or they just have like general clubs that do everything. So I feel like if you go to your extension office and you ask them first, then they can help get you situated.
Okay. All right, Megan, any tips or tricks for those that, because I know sometimes you mentioned your family was very involved in 4-H and you kind of saw that path, but we have some people get in 4-H that may not have had any family member participate, or some people think, well, it's just for kids that show livestock. Or do you have any tips or advice for people that want to get into the 4-H program but maybe don't know anything about it or know if it's a good fit for them?
Yeah, 4-H is such a good program because it's so diverse in everything. And so I think, just like how Jake said, you can go and you can contact your local extension agent and they can see where you want to go and what you see fit for. And there's so many different groups in every single county that I think you can just find your niche very easily. For me, I'm more of the leadership and the community service side. And so I was very easily been able to go and find my niche and find my people that will help me encourage those things that I want to do. And so 4-H is such a good program because they love to encourage and push to ourselves, the youth, to do good and to do better in what they have interest in.
Okay. So we're going to get towards kind of our last few questions here. So I'm going to have a couple for you. First one will be, as healthy living ambassadors, Megan, we'll start with you. What's kind of one of your goals during I don't know if term is the right word, but serving as a healthy living ambassador, what's one of your goals specific to that program that you want to achieve?
Yeah, so for the last 2 years, I've really wanted the goal of making a summit where kids can come and know what healthy living is about. And we'll have workshops about different physical health and mental health and just get awareness about that with the youth. It's such a scared topic, but I think it's such an important topic at the same time to spread to the youth, to get them educated about it. And so I think if we have a summit where they can come and they can explore what it is, and then they can also get interested in if they want to be an ambassador, if they want to be one of the people to push it also. And so that's one of the main goals that I've had for the past 2 years, is to make a summit for them.
Okay, I love that. All right, Jake, what about you? Specific to Healthy Living Ambassador, a goal that you have?
So I just also want to lead on to what Megan said.
Okay.
With the Healthy Living Summit, I think it's a wonderful idea, and I feel like it fits everyone. It's not even just the youth. I mean, for adults too.
Okay.
And like she said, it's easily overlooked. And so if we can get that summit set up, I feel like we can teach mental health, physical health, whatever we need to teach kids about, because I feel like it can be a fun time, but we can also get a really good learning experience out of it. And I feel like that's just a good way to start and help educate all the kids across Oklahoma, and hopefully they can find their passion or help educate other kids.
Now, do we still do yoga? Is that one of the...
Yes, we still do yoga.
Okay. And then how about, is it the blender bike? Is that right? Is the blender bike still around? Okay.
Yes.
So if you have the summit, we might have some yoga and some blender bikes going, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure want to still make... We want it to be a fun time, not just a lecture.
Okay.
We want kids to be able to have fun while they're learning about something. And I feel like you said, with the blender bike, that's always fun. I actually did that the other day. And I made me a nice smoothie. So
okay, see, fun and a smoothie. Like, that's a win-win, nutritious. Right? Yeah. All right. Well, my last question, and Megan, we'll start with you. And I think you said you're just a junior, right? Mm-hmm. And Jake's a sophomore. So this may be a little bit further out. But tell us about what your future plans are school-wise. And you may not have decided yet, but what you're thinking about after you finish up with your high school years.
Yeah, so I definitely want to go to OSU. Go Pokes.
I like that one. Now, Lee's an OU grad, so we kind of have a little bit of a battle between that, but I will cheer for that one. Yes.
Okay, thank you. After I graduate high school, I definitely want to go to OSU, but I also want to be a paralegal, so I'm balancing the act do I want to go to law school and get that education, or do I want to stay and do something with ag, because my family is on a farm and ranch and I love it so much and I don't want to go too far away. I want to stay close to home.
Okay.
So I'm battling that.
We could maybe do ag law. You could possibly mix those up a little bit. So
I'm thinking about it.
Okay. Well, that's great. All right, Jake, what about you? I feel like you've got a lot of different things going on, but what's that future education plan for you?
So I also plan on going to OSU, and I want to go for my animal science degree because I plan on my future career that I hope I can achieve is I want to be an equine veterinarian.
Good like for you. Okay.
Like I said, I've always grown up around horses, and I've always had a passion for them, and I've been around everything. Like, I've seen the worst of it. I've seen the best of it. And I feel like it's just something that's always stuck to my heart. And like I said, OSU offers many programs, and one of those programs during the summer they do is we have a little equine vet day.
Okay.
And so we go out there. Like, last year, we dissected horse legs, and this year we looked at like fecal matter and looked to see if there was any worms in them.
Okay.
And I think that's just something that I've always loved, and I feel like OSU offers it for me. It offers just the best program for to be a veterinarian. Okay. So I'm hoping that's what I hope to do.
Okay. No, I love that. So Jake, you don't know this, but my older sister's a veterinarian. So love anyone that wants to be a veterinarian and stay in ag, Megan. So that's great. But on the horse side, my family had running horses when I was growing up, so I'm named after a quarter horse trainer, Blaine Schwanefelt. So that's where my name comes from. So we're mixing all these fun pieces in together of your all's interest here. But we love to hear students that want to go to Oklahoma State University. So that's very exciting for us to hear. And very impressed at your all's age that you've already kind of got your career plans and thoughts set out before you. So, Jake, we're going to finish up. So any other thoughts or anything that we didn't touch on that you want to share with us before we wrap up here?
I just want to say that 4-H is a great program, and it's for sure helped me find my passion. Like I said, I plan on being an equine veterinarian, and it can help many other youth find theirs. Like I said, it has a wide variety of project areas, and so each kid can find out what they want to do through those programs. And like I said, it's helped me in my community. I've been able to do plenty of community service projects. So like most recently, I've been working on making care packages for the VA hospital.
Wonderful.
And hand-delivering them because they have at the VA hospital, they don't have a lot of people that visit them.
Okay.
And sometimes just one conversation can make their day. So I want to help kids. 4-H can help kids. They can give back to their community. They can help become a better leader, and that can help find their passion. So I think that anyone out there, they should give 4-H a try.
No, I love that. All right, Megan, last words are yours here this afternoon.
Wow, the pressure is on me. No, just to piggyback on Jake, I think 4-H is such a diverse club and such an amazing club and unique that if you even have the tiniest interest in something, definitely give your extension agent a call and see if they can have a club that you might fit in with. And so I think giving 4-H a try, even if it's just for 1 year, just to find your interest, I think is so worth it. And I don't think it will just be 1 year. I think it'll loop you in. You'll be tied for the rest of your life because that's what 4-H does. And it's just an amazing opportunity that every youth needs to try, I think, at least once.
Well, wonderful job. Certainly glad that you all were able to come over from the Capitol to visit with us here this afternoon. And we will be certainly watching to see the continued success that both of you guys have. So thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Megan and Jake have departed. Lee Benson back here with Secretary Blaine Arthur. And Secretary Arthur, what are your takeaways, your thoughts, anything you want to talk about from your chat there with Megan and Jake?
Yeah, you bet. Certainly, they're our first two healthy living ambassadors in the 4-H program that we have, which I think is a great program, just encouraging students to be active and understand the kind of nutrition side of life. And both of them having had the chance to go to DC and participate at the national level in some of those conversations. And so, you know, they're representing the state of Oklahoma as healthy living ambassadors and bringing those things back to their counties. And the one thing that I love about our 4-H program, and they touched on that just a little bit, is our senior 4-H members do demonstrations and educational pieces for our junior 4-H members, which I really love because I think a lot of times those younger 4-H members, they look up to our older 4-H members, and having the 4-H members themselves doing a program or an educational activity can be a little bit different than adults sometimes in a positive way. And so hearing both of them talk about their interest in that and going through the application process and being selected, and then, you know, some of their goals, the summit that they talked about having, those for a sophomore and a junior. I'm just amazed that they are just kind of that self-aware and have their goals and plans set out and want to make good things happen.
You mentioned that summit, and they're both on the same page with that thing, and that's a great idea. And lofty goals, you know, for, you know, teenagers wanting to do these things to help out, you know, physical health, mental health. It seemed like, I think Megan was kind of more on the physical side, and Jake wanted to talk more about like the mental health. So it's interesting to have that balance there on the show. So there was part of that, though, and maybe it was part of that summit, but also maybe you talked about it at other points as well, that stood out to me that I didn't know anything about. The blender bike?
Oh, the blender bike, yes. We'll have to get you on a blender bike, Lee.
So, and Jake said that he used it, and you actually make yourself a smoothie while
you're riding it? You do, yes. So it's got the tire of it has a big 4-H emblem, so that like spins around as you work on the blender bike, and then you get finished, and you've got your smoothie and can have a smoothie. It's just running on the front. Yes, yeah, your pedaling is moving the blender on the bike. So
wait a second. So are you choosing all of your smoothie ingredients before you get on the bike, putting it in a blender?
Yep.
And then you get on the bike.
Yes.
Really?
And okay. you have to really get with it. So you've got to be pedaling. Yeah, a sprint. Sprint. Is that a thing? I don't know.
I guess I'm not a bike
levels
rider.
Levels of speed. Really. But it's very cool. And I think the best part of it is kids, you're kind of putting all of those pieces together for 4-H members of let's make healthy eating decisions and get lots of exercise. But then it's also fun and the smoothie tastes great. So you're kind of checking all these boxes.
I can see why 4-H is so popular. I mean, they're
right. Maybe we should get one for the office. Maybe we need a blender bike here at the office. Yeah.
And then that's another thing that I've learned so much about 4-H is all the different things you can do in 4-H. Like, for example, I mean, learning from Jake about, like, he's super into horses and horsemanship.
Yeah.
And that's his big thing. And it sounds like if not for 4-H, I'm not sure if he really would have had an opportunity to be so involved with horses. So, and that was the most I've heard or learned about horses outside of visiting Remington Park a couple of times here at the job. And so hearing, you know, everything about that, also it stands out. He's talked about how he does not like to wear tights.
English classes for the horses. Breeches is really probably the term, but they do look like tights. So I can understand, you know, the tall black boots and then the fitted pants. So I could see why he picked the Western classes over the English classes.
So tell me about, and this is a part of the interview where my background, not knowing much about it, I was like, I think I can kind of figure out what this is, but still, I'll ask you for some background. Okay. The record books.
Yes.
The record books. Yep. And it sounded like that was a big project for both. I know Megan was talking about how, I guess she had to think back to her very first time in 4-H.
Yes.
So what is that, like your own record book or like for your group? How does
it
that
is,
work?
It's on an individual basis. And so they have project areas. And I'm sure Jake's is focused on the equine side of things. And Megan's probably leadership or maybe her healthy living focus. But they, it's the first of the record book actually starts out with their 4-H story. And so they tell about their time that they've done. But throughout their year, that year in 4-H, as they get into the more senior 4-H program, the students keep track of all of their activities. So that might be attending a demonstration contest, that might be going to the state capitol, it might be community service hours, but they gather all of that information and then put it into a record book that's then submitted to the state 4-H office. And then I believe it's a top three in each category. So you've got categories from the leadership to equine science to pet project. You got all the different project areas, and then they interview at the state level for whomever the winner is in that particular category for their record book, and then that winner is awarded a scholarship at Roundup there in Stillwater in the summer. And so I think it's also a great tool for those students to learn how to manage their time, collect all that information, be able to put it together in an easy to read, succinct linked package. There's very specific requirements on how much information you can have, you know, what size margin it needs to be. So they've got to follow some pretty specific directions, but they put in hours and hours. And it usually, I think, gets a little high stress when it comes time for record books to be turned in. But it's very cool to see all of the information put together in one packet and then see the scholarship opportunities that those students have.
And it sounds like Megan probably had a lot of entries in her record book about speech contests and speaking, because she talked about how, I think she said that when helping out some of the younger people in 4-H, she would get up there and demonstrate, you know, what a good speech can be. It sounded, but also she said she would demonstrate what a bad speech would be. And so I think that would probably be fun for somebody to try, you know, just demonstrating what not to do, because I'm sure she's gone through that before, and everyone makes mistakes. So that part was pretty interesting, thinking about how that would go, what to do and what not to do. And then also on the speech front, it sounded like it was interesting when Jake was talking about how he's kind of uncomfortable speaking and doing interviews.
Right.
And like, I mean, you're telling him, he's like, yeah, you're doing a nice job now. And I, a little bit ago when we were talking to him, I said, hey, I think you did a nice job.
Agreed.
So it's interesting that you've at least acknowledged, though. You think,
yes.
You know, like, he's certainly improved quite a bit from whenever maybe he noticed that that was not one of his strengths. So that stuff like that's always interesting as well, because these kids are such good speakers.
They are.
And him talking about how, like, yeah, I'm not the best at that. It's like, well, I think you're doing pretty good.
They are great, but then I think sometimes they're their greatest critics, which drives them to be better. But I thought, of all the things that I thought you were going to say, I would not have guessed that that would have been what you were nervous about or wanted to work on the most.
Says he's talked to a lot of people that's helped him and probably helped build up his confidence too. And Megan, when she, her story talking about how she, I think one of her first speeches, she said that she was super confident her mother was telling her, no, you need to practice more. She said, I got this. And I think the end of it was like, she ended up totally failing, and one of her best friends did a great job.
Really well,
and,
yes.
But now she takes credit for her best friend being this great speaker, because now she's winning a bunch of awards.
Yeah. Which is a good lesson learned, and a great way to be supportive of somebody else.
And lastly, I know they both want to go to Oklahoma State. Jake wants to be an equine veterinarian.
I know. So. I loved that. That was exciting. And then just him talking about his summer plans of working at the track. And I just thought, okay, like he's like both of them big time go-getters, but just kind of, I think his path is probably a little more unique than some of the students we've gotten to visit with.
And then on Megan's side, it'll be interesting to see what she ends up doing, because she loves ag. She wants to be involved, but she also said she wants to be a paralegal.
I know.
So
yeah,
we'll see. I mean, I'm sure there's probably options and for her there. So bright future for both of them.
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks to both Megan and Jake for stopping by. Now, as you're listening to this episode, the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon is this upcoming weekend. And in fact, none of the festivities are already underway on Friday, April 26th. But the big race is not until Sunday morning. And that also includes the half marathon, which you're going to be doing once again this year. I understand this is an annual tradition for you. How many years have you ran in this half marathon?
So this is my fifth half marathon. My family has done the 5K. I think we counted up, this is 12 years of the 5K, which when we first did the 5K, I'd see these half marathoners finishing and thought, oh gosh, 13.1 miles is a really long way. I don't think I can do that. But then I guess got a wild hair that I was going to do the half. So have been following my little training plan to be ready for this weekend.
Okay, so what's that like? Because earlier off the air, you told me that you've just finished up a 10-mile run, I think you said, this past weekend. So that's kind of your final. Is that your final long run before the race?
That's as far as I go. And I know, and I will never pretend to be the running expert. There's plenty of people who are genuinely running experts. But I just, when we did the 5K, there's an app that's called Couch to 5K. So for someone that had never run before, and you kind of follow that timeline. So a similar thing for the half marathon, except you have to start quite a bit sooner to get ready for the half. Than for a 5K, but I just kind of follow my miles that it spits out for me on when I need to get those in, and do the longer runs on the weekend, because usually a little bit more flexible time on the weekends. And at least the years that I've done it, the furthest I do is 10 miles, and then you add on the extra 3.1 on half marathon day.
Do you think, since 10's the farthest you go training, does that extra 3.1 when it, because you've done this before, does that extra 3.1 seem like 10.1 or
it, is it knock no big on deal? Wood, we'll see what happens this weekend. Knock on wood, it's kind of surprising that it's not as far as you kind of think it would be. The great thing about the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon is the support that you have throughout the race. So you've got people cheering and kind of encourage you all along the way. I will say, from the first time I did the half, they changed the course, I think 3 years ago. Time kind of sinks away from me. And so you, at least my time during the half marathon, you kind of ended up in a group that's about your pace. And so you kind of get to visit with folks. Okay. And you're, that to me, which makes it enjoyable, get to learn about the people that you're running with. But we got to what we kind of thought was almost the end, because there was lots of music, but you kind of had to turn this corner and then go again and then go again. And we were like, okay, we thought we were almost done and we still have like 3/4 of a mile, which doesn't seem that far in the big scheme of things, but when you're kind of telling yourself that you're almost finished, it was still yeah, quite a few steps to get to the end.
Now, when you're running, do you have any sort of tracker on you? Like, do you have, like, so you know how far you have to go, or do you just, are you blind?
I don't, and I know there's all kinds of fancy equipment, yeah, and gear, and I always get a little bit tickled when we get started that morning. It usually starts about 6:30 because I kind of look at all the runners around me and feel a little bit like a fish out of water, just a little bit, you know, because they've got like all the gear and like, right, the little fanny pack things and the like the gel deals and all of this. And I genuinely just have on my tennis shoes and my, yep, watch. And I'm just, and when I say run, I always like to clarify slow jog. It's not, I wouldn't probably say a run, but I don't stop. I go the whole time. So that's my goal. I kind of set for myself,
I think.
But there are markers, I think up to 9, there's flags every 3 miles. So you kind of have an idea. And then as you get towards the end, there's ones that are like, okay, 10, 11, like you're almost there. Keep, okay, going.
Okay. At the one half marathon I ever ran, I had, you know, my watch tracker thing on there.
Yes.
And, but I realized at the end of it that it was not correct. 'Cause,
oh no. It,
I got to the 13.1, but I still had more to go on the actual route. So,
oh,
I was like, realized, okay, well, maybe this is not the best app, because I kind of like you. I thought, I was like, oh, I'm almost done. Oh, wait, I have another half mile,
oh, gosh,
to go, which...
Which there is, yeah, for anyone. There is an app for the marathon. So if anyone has friends or family that are running, you can actually track them,
oh, cool,
as you go, because my family will kind of meet me at different points and they'll kind of see how close. And then my husband and my kids are usually at the end. So they know about how long it takes me to get there. And then they make sure that they have made it to the end whenever I get done. But that's if you have any friends or family that are running, then you can get their, I think you just have to have their bib number, and then you kind of, yeah, search that on the app so you can kind of track them as they go along.
So you have ran this multiple times now. You're a very competitive person, I know. Do you
yes,
set, do you set goals then for yourself? Do you try to improve upon your time each year, or how does that go for you?
I do try to improve my time each year. This year has probably been the trickiest getting my miles in. It just, springtime is busy. It's busy for everyone, but my kids have lots of activities, and
right,
so trying to get all that. So this year, I don't feel like I'm as ready as maybe I have been some other years, but I just try to be faster. But I always, the one thing, even though it gets, and I am very competitive, but when it gets towards the end, and I'm nowhere near the, like, close to, I mean, so many people have already finished by the time I get there. But if there is anyone in front of me, like, it's just like innately in me that I have,
nice,
to run by them.
That's something.
Which, yeah, is maybe kind of crazy, but then I'm like, oh, I can't, that person looks like they're slow. I need, which I'm slow, but so even after 13 miles, I still have to try to beat whoever's in front of me at the finish line.
All right. Well, hopefully you can maybe surprise yourself this year, even though you're not thinking that maybe you're in the best spot.
We'll see.
Hopefully
we'll
weather cooperates. I think it's going to be a little warm, but 6:30 running, it should be.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. They,
yeah,
started early enough that it's always
shouldn't
pretty
matter,
cool. And I'm always the full marathoners, because they split us off and you see those full marathon folks. I know the young lady, I think she's a college professor actually, who won the full last year. Like, she's running by all of us right towards the end, and
yeah,
we're like, okay, you've gone twice as far
as
us, and she doesn't even look tired. She's like gliding by. But then it's kind of fun, because then all the half marathoners are like cheering for the full full marathoners as they go by. So it's just a fun, it's a fun day.
Yeah, the full marathon, people that take it real seriously, and I just, I can't imagine the training and the day-to-day life of a person like that.
It's unbelievable that just the miles that you put in, because to me, my goal is that 13.1, but for them, those are a lot of their training days to be ready to do 26.2. I mean, it's a long, it's a really, really long way. I've told myself that's on my bucket list, but then I'm trying to be realistic that I'm old and I don't know that I can go that far. So time will tell if that ever happens.
All right. Well, best of luck. I know you'll have a good time. And I've never been out there for that. Okay. I'm not running this year. I haven't ran the mile. But this year, I need to get out there. So,
well, I encourage people, and there's lots of volunteer opportunities for folks, but it's just a fun, like at the very beginning, the Thunder Drummers are always out as you run by, and they're playing. And it's just a fun, it's kind of a just a community Oklahoma City celebration day almost, if that makes sense. Yeah. And people are out with water and Powerade and cheering people on. So it's just a fun, I mean, I don't know if you want to be out there at 6:30 in the morning. I don't know how much of a morning person you are, but it's
more
it's
so
a
now
fun event.
Than in the past, you know, changing.
Yeah, because your day's flopped. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a family friend of ours is actually from Minnesota is going to come and run in the race. So
awesome.
I think I'll have it.
Okay.
I think I'll have to be out there anyways. So,
yeah, we've got all 50 states represented this year, and I think four or five different countries. So people, and I can't tell you the numbers, but tens of thousands of people show up to run. So it's a fun weekend in Oklahoma City.
The challenge, I suppose, and you would know all about this, is trying to figure out where to go. Because I know it's a long route and figuring out where to I heard the finish line area is just crazy.
Yes, it's great. So. Scissortail Park, it ends at, but there's also, if you go on to the internet or the marathon app, it shows you little spots to catch runners. So like if you're watching the full or the half, that they'll say, you know, here's a great spot where you can get to, and it'll give you time to get to the next. I know in the past, when as I mentioned, that you kind of run with the same group of folks. And I know the one gal I was running by a couple years ago, her husband met us five different times on the race and was very, well, he, I think his intention was to be very encouraging. I think his wife was slightly irritated with him. we got done because he was saying, you can do it. You're not really tired. Your body's just telling you you're tired. And she's like, no, I really am tired, actually. I'm very
That's
tired.
That's easy for you to say on the sidelines.
Right.
All right. Well, best of luck. Maybe the next time we do a show, we can get a recap and you can talk about, or maybe a brief recap of how it went.
Sure. Sounds good.
Talk about. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us on this edition of Young Ag Achievers. Like always, we invite you to join us for future episodes when we talk to more of Oklahoma agriculture's young ag achievers. For Secretary Arthur, I am Lee Benson. Thank you for listening.